If you really want to place your focus on making another person's life better through your product, through your service, through the immense experience that you give them, that you provide, you're creating that wonderful context for your success.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Action Academy Podcast, the show that helps you get rich, happy, successful, and free with a capital F in your life and business. Today, we're going to keep the intro short and sweet because the guest on today's show was the author of one of the books that fundamentally changed how I view sales and how I view business slash life. And the concepts I learned from this book directly contributed to the birth of the Action Academy Podcast and the birth of the Action Academy community. I read this gentleman's book when I was going through corporate sales training about 6 years ago. And I remember reading it and I was finishing up my rookie year of sales and I was trying to figure out why I couldn't become the best. And there was some roadblock that was in my way. And I read this guy's book and it changed how I viewed everything. And I immediately implemented it. And my sales skyrocketed 4 times. I hit diamond level, which is top 5% of the company out of 5,079. I won sales rep of the year, rookie of the year, all the awards. And it was all because of the book, The Go-Giver by Bob Berg, who's the guest on today's show. This book takes the concept of being a go-getter and it completely flips it on its head because a go-getter is normally associated with somebody that takes massive levels of action. And in today's podcast interview, Bob talks about how he doesn't necessarily have an issue with go-getters, but what happens is go-getters, especially in corporate America, slowly transition into go-takers to where all they're thinking about is their quota, their commission, their pay, and how much money they're going to freaking make off of the customer. And this applies in sales, in business, in corporate America, and in entrepreneurship with any business that you interact with. So the transition from go-getter to go-giver, which is the title of the book, is one where you go from focusing about me and what's in it for me to focusing on what's in it for other people. How can I provide as much value to other people as possible? How can I lead with that? How can I truly create the best experience for the customer and really walk with them hand in hand through the journey to say yes if it's the fit or no if it's not? How can I do the most for other people to help them accomplish their goals? And the irony of this book and the irony of this practice that we're going to discuss today is the more that you give, the more that you get. And that's especially true if you have zero expectation of return. Case in point, the Action Academy podcast. I did this podcast for free, and it's still free, for over a year and a half. And I didn't have any business, any offer, any way that I was wanting to make money off of it. I just wanted to give you guys value. And I still do to this day. And that's why my entire business model is I give you all the information that you need to know for free. And then I help you implement it in the Action Academy community, which you should 1000% join if you're interested in finding your peers, your partners, your mentors, finding other go-givers, people that are really trying to walk the walk and talk the talk. And even when I hop on calls with you guys for 15 minutes to discuss joining the Action Academy, there are times where it is not a fit. And that's okay. I'll literally tell you, hey, I don't think that this is the best use of your money. I think that you should go invest here or there. And that's what it's all about, being a consultant truly for the customer and trying to provide just as much value as you can at scale. So that is the topic of today's show. Stick around. It's very to the point. I don't talk too much. I just let Bob go. And he covers all the concepts that we're talking about today, why you should be a go-giver, why you should lean into it. And then the last 10 minutes, we cover Bob's 5 laws of stratospheric success. And he goes over each one of them in detail. So you're going to want to stick around for that. Hope you guys enjoy. And let's get to it. Bob Berg. Bob Berg. Long time coming, my friend. How are you?
Brian, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on with you.
I'm so excited, man. It's one of those moments that's pretty surreal because I remember I was a business book junkie in my corporate sales career. Man, I'll give you a brief background of me. I was in corporate America for 5 years, did everything right. applied the principles that you talk about in the book, made it to a top of a Fortune 500 company in the sales organization, number 8 out of 5,079, by implementing what you talked about. So it's cool, full circle, now that I've actually left that job and left corporate America, to now be talking to you. Hey,
thank you.
I guess that serves as a parable in itself, huh?
Yeah. You know what? It's a great compliment to me that you said that. And I'll pass that along to John David Mann, my co-author, because I don't think there's a better feeling than to know that someone utilized. And then, by the way, I'm sure you were utilizing the principles anyway. That's who you are. So it's what you do. But just to know that the book had some part to play in your success is just a great feeling.
I appreciate that. So I want to get into that concept with you about I was a go-getter. I was getting after it. And I was just like, I'm going to accomplish all of my corporate goals. Come hell or high water, get out of my way. Hop on board, get out of my way. So Bob, we got a lot of people that are listening to this today. And the name of your book is Go Giver. It's a fantastic book. And everyone should go get it and send it to all their friends, family, and relatives. But what do you have against go-getters, Bob? What's wrong with being a go-getter?
Nothing. We love go-getters. If you define a go-getter as a person of action, because and I know, and everyone watching this, we're all in business and we all know you can have the best thoughts, nicest ideas, the greatest of intent. But unless action's put into the mix, nothing's going to happen. It cannot happen. So no, we love go-getters. Now, the good news is that there's no natural division between a go-getter and a go-giver. See, a go-giver is simply someone who understands that shifting their focus, and this is really where it all begins, shifting your focus from getting, again, the focus from getting to giving. Now, when we say giving, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others, understanding that doing so is not only a more fulfilling way of conducting business, it's actually the most financially profitable way as well. And not for any kind of way out there reasons, right? Magical, mystical type of reasons. Not at all. When you think about it, it makes very rational sense. When you're that person who can take your focus off of yourself and place it on serving others, discovering what they need, what they want, what they desire. When you can move off of yourself and place your focus on helping them solve their problems. When you can shift off of yourself and place your focus on helping move them closer to happiness. You know what? People feel good about you. They feel great about you. They want to get to know you. They like you. They trust you. They want to be in relationship with you. They want to do business with you, and they want to tell the world about you. By the same token, and I often say this when I speak at sales conferences, nobody is going to buy from you because you have a quota, okay? They're not going to buy from you because you need the money, and they're not even going to buy from you just because you're a really nice person. They're going to buy from you because they believe that ultimately they'll be better off by doing so than by not doing so. And in the basically free market economy in which we still live, and when I say free market, I simply mean no one's forced to do business with anyone else, right? People do it on their own volition. And in this case, that's the only reason why anyone should buy from you or from me or from anyone else, because they believe they'll be better off. But this is where being a go-giver comes in. If you really want to place your focus on making another person's life better through your product, through your service, through the immense experience that you give them, that you provide, you are creating that wonderful context for your success. So here's what we say. We want you to be a go-getter and a go-giver. Just don't be a go-taker. A go-taker is someone we would say, all they're interested in is the take, okay? It's take without having added value to the other person, to the process, to the situation. And they typically are not as successful as they'd like to be, and they tend to be frustrated by that. But even when they are successful financially, okay, it's very difficult to sustain for too long. First, it's a lot of work. It's hard because you have no one on your side. It's you against the world, and some people have that competitive thing. They can do that, or they invent something, or they have something that they're able to do. Absolutely. It's a big world out there. There's plenty of go-takers who do well financially, but it's very difficult to sustain. And even when they do, very difficult. And typically, they're personal relationships are not very good. Just
exactly
by the very nature of who they are. So
spills over.
So we would say, yeah, definitely be a go-getter. If you're a go-getter now, continue being a go-getter and be a go-giver focused on others. Just don't be a go-taker. I hope that makes sense.
Absolutely. And it's funny. We could talk about this in the sales context here for the majority of the conversation, because that's where I came from. That's my natural proclivity, because I have experience in that field.
Sure.
But for people listening, what Bob is saying also applies with your content. So when we talk about content, and it's an example is this podcast, I created this podcast before I created a business on the back end of it. I made this podcast for free with no ads, no intention of profit for a year. And so it's exactly what Bob is saying. If the longer that you are a giver, a go-giver without expectation of return, the larger your ask can be whenever you do make an ask. And so because you've provided so much asymmetric value that people are like dying to do business with you. They're like, can you please ask us of something? Because you've given me so much value. So Bob, why do you think, let's go back a bit to corporate America in general. Why do you think that we run into all of these sales professionals and these business owners where they think that the way to success is to be the go-getter and just push forward, drive forward, make their way, sales skills their way to success, and they never even have the thought of providing value? Why isn't that ingrained in people anymore?
First, I'm going to just say that manipulation is bad. Persuasion is not. Persuasion's good. When we can persuade, it means we're helping another person to make a decision that's in their best interest. Manipulation's different. That's when we're only thinking about ourselves and we don't care who we hurt by doing that. I want people to be good persuaders because since you can't force someone to do business with you, which is good, right? You need to be able to persuade them. You need to share with them why it's in their best interest to do. As far as your question, why do so many people then not recognize why it's so important to focus on bringing value, even though logically that makes the most sense, right? Again, people are doing business with you for their reasons, not our reasons. So why don't they realize that? Because it's human nature. It's human nature. We're self-interested, just like that other person's self-interested. Okay. And so it's hard for us to see that it's actually more profitable for us to be less self-interested. Yeah. So let's walk through this a little bit and let's walk through it and again, we'll put it in the vernacular of a sales conversation, even though again, for those who, and everyone here is in sales, but you might not be doing one-on-one type of sales and so forth. The principle's still going to hold. And someone says, okay, Bob, so, you know, this go-giver stuff, focusing on others, that's fine after I already have the money and I don't need to do that. I need the money now. How am I supposed to get people's money if I'm focused on them, not myself, right? So there's a false premise to that very question. And that false premise is that by focusing on yourself instead of by focusing on the money instead of focusing on them, you're going to get to the sale quicker. And it's just simply not true. Let's say I'm the salesperson. You are the prospect and I really need the money, Brian. I want you to do well through this product, but it's about me here. Okay. I need the money. So I'm going to go in there and sure, I'm going to ask you the questions I've been trained to ask and I'm going to do a discovery session. But as I listen, I'm not really listening to the serve. I'm not listening to really understand you and your motives and I'm listening so that I can sharp angle you into a close later on. Okay. When you have an objection, I give you the standard answers and I try to do so patiently, but I'm a little defensive about these objections because these objections of yours, they're standing in the way of my money. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not only a little curt with it, but I'm also just not taking the time to really explore the deeper meaning and concerns. I'm just answering on a surface level. Okay. I'm closing often and early. And by the time I finally ask you for the final time to take action, are the chances good or not so good that you're going to have the trust and faith in me to want to buy? And the chances are probably not. Okay. Because especially if it's a bigger ticket item, there's risk. I don't really have your best interest at heart. I have my interests.
Absolutely.
Now I'm the same salesperson, only now different salesperson, I guess, but same basic situation. I need the money, blah, 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 the whole thing. But I also realize that my needing the money isn't what's going to cause you to buy. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to deny my self-interest. I'm a human being, thus I'm self-interested. Just is. But it's a mistake to think that because you're interested in yourself that you can't be interested in helping others. That's that duality. That's that false dilemma. So what I'm going to do is not deny my self-interest, but I am going to suspend it. I'm going to temporarily suspend my self-interest, and I'm going to focus on you. So I go in there, and I'm asking questions, and I'm listening. And I'm listening, yeah, with my ears, but also with my eyes, with my posture. And I'm wanting to understand exactly what's going on with you that's causing you to benefit, that would have you benefit from this. Why is it that you're... And I'm also understanding that because we're different people, we probably think from two different belief systems. So I'm not assuming that because you give me an answer that I necessarily understand what you mean. So I'm diplomatically and tactfully asking you to clarify until I absolutely know. And only when I know that I know your needs, wants, and desires, am I going to begin to connect the benefits of my product or service with those needs, wants, and desires. When you have an objection, not only am I not going to be defensive, I'm going to welcome it. And I'm going to assure you it's a great question. And I'm going to assure you that it's very important that you feel comfortable with this process if we're going to be able to help you. And you feel comfortable with that. And now instead of me just answering the objection you've given me, we're going to go deep and we're going to discover the actual root of this objection. And we're going to work through it together in order to advance the sale. And by the time I ask for the order, I'm simply asking you to take action on something that you have already told me that you want to do. More than anything, you sense and you know that I have your well-being at heart. Are you more likely or less likely to want to buy from me right now?
Yes.
And the answer is probably more likely.
I love that.
And that's what we're talking about.
And to clarify and punctuate exactly what you're saying with a real world example. So before, and just so to provide some context for everybody listening, most sales organizations have different clubs, like President's Club, Diamond Club. President's Club's normally the top 15%. Diamond Club's normally top 5%. Everyone's got kind of different names to it. But what got me into there was when I first started my first couple of years in sales was exactly like Bob was saying. I was like, okay, I'm this number away from my quarterly bonus. I'm this number away from my commission goals. And you go in and you're taught how to maneuver around objections. And in my organization that we were in, it was called EECR. It was empathize, clarify, isolate, repeat. So you're going to empathize with the objection. You're going to clarify it to make sure it's the only objection. Then you're going to isolate that objection. And then you're going to repeat it back to them and then present a solution to it. So there was a very tactical way of going about it. But then when I made the pivot exactly like you're saying, Bob, and I read The Go-Giver and I was like, okay, I want to make this pivot to being this person. I started entering these sales conversations, both low level and high level with, I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm here to figure out how we're not a fit. I'm here to make sure that this is going to be the perfect thing for you. And if it's not the perfect thing for you, I'd rather sit and figure out that part and hash that part out to make sure that you're making the best, most informed decision today. And then we can move forward as friends afterwards, because at the end of the day, it was the pivot from going from a B2B conversation, which is business to business, to a B2C conversation, business to consumer, to I was like, I want to sell H to H, human to human.
Exactly.
And that's what made the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. You just hit it right on the head. Perfect.
I love it. I really want to go, for the sake of time, I would love to go into the 5 lessons of stratospheric success. If you want to just provide some context and color to each one of these, and people can obviously buy the book and read more in depth on them. But let's hit on these five different levels and 5 different lessons.
Yeah. So the 5 laws themselves are the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. The law of value says your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? Sounds like a recipe for bankruptcy. Give more in value than I take in payment. How am I supposed to survive? Never mind thrive. And so for this, we simply have to understand the difference between price and value. Price is a dollar figure. Value is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea, what have you, that brings so much worth to another person that they will willingly, again, free market, willingly exchange their money for it and be glad they did while you also make a healthy profit. A very quick example I like to use is the accountant who you hired to do your taxes, and she charges you $1,000. That's her fee, literally her price, $1,000. But what value does she give you in exchange? Through her experience, her determination, her desire to get to know you and what you're looking to accomplish, she's able to save you $5,000 in taxes. She also saves you countless hours of time and provides you with the security and the peace of mind of knowing it was done correctly. So she gave you well over $5,000 in value in exchange for a $1,000 fee or price. She gave you more in value than she took in payment. So you feel great about it. And she also made a very healthy profit, because for her, it was worth it to lease out her time, her knowledge, her energy, her wisdom, what have you, for that $1,000. Okay. And so both of you came out. In fact, in any free market based exchange, there should always be two profits, the buyer profits and the seller profits, because each of them come away better off afterwards than they were beforehand. But you know, the key to this, key, Brian, is the understanding that this happened not because she was focused on the money, but that she was focused on the value and the value-based experience she was providing. This is why John David Mann and I say that money is simply an echo of value.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Money is an echo of value. The value must be the focal point, right? That comes first. The money you receive is simply a natural result of the value you've provided. Law number two is the law of compensation. This says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So where law number one says to give more in value than you take in payment, law number two tells us that the more people whose lives you touch with the exceptional value you provide, the more money with which you'll be rewarded. In the first example, your accountant did a great job of giving more in value than she took in payment. The chances are you're happy with her, you do business with her again, and you tell others about her. And her other clients feel the same way. So our accountant is very quickly amassing that army of personal walking ambassadors. And as she continues to do, the money that she earns will continue to grow and grow. Law number three, the law of influence, says your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Again, counterproductive sounding, maybe Pollyanna-ish sounding. Not at all. Now, first, let's understand. When we say place the other person's interests first, we don't mean you should be anyone's doormat or martyr or self-sacrificial in any way. Absolutely not at all. It's simply understanding, as Joe, the protege in the story, learned from several of the mentors, the golden rule of business, of sales, is that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know.
Trust.
There's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you in others than by genuinely moving from that I focus or me focus to that other focus. Or as Sam, one of the mentors, advised Joe, make your win all about the other person's win.
Yep.
Law number four is the law of authenticity. This says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. In this part of the story, the mentor, Deborah, she shared a very important lesson that all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they're all very important, they're also all for naught if you don't come at it from your true, authentic core. But when you do, when you show up as yourself, day after day, week after week, month after month, people feel good about you. They feel comfortable with you. They feel safe with you. And why wouldn't they? They know who they're getting. This is a very basic aspect, element of human nature. People want to be able to make sense out of their world. And this in a world that often doesn't make sense. And so when you are consistent, they know who they're getting. That's and you can only be consistent when you are authentic. Now, I do want to say this. I think that there's a there's become almost a misunderstanding over the last few years regarding authenticity, at least how I see it. Doesn't mean I'm right, but it's how I see it. That it's almost now as though authenticity simply means no boundaries. Just say or do whatever you want because, well, at least you're authentic and that's everything.
That's just being an asshole. Yep,
thank you. This is like the person who says, I have anger issues and I yell a lot at people. And if I were to act any differently,
this is just how I am.
No, it means this person has an authentic problem that he needs to authentically work on in order to become a better, higher, more effective, authentic version of themselves. Yeah, just exactly what you said. And so I would say, please don't let authenticity or buy into this thing that authenticity just means I'm not going to grow. I'm just who I am. Take it or leave it. That's a good philosophy if you don't want to do well in business and if you don't want to have any great relationships, but that's probably not what most people want. I define authenticity very simply. Okay. It's simply acting congruently with your values.
Yes.
When you do that, you're authentic. Then you just got to hope the person has high values, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they're acting authentically to. And then the fifth law is the law of receptivity. And this one simply says the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. This means nothing more than understanding that, yeah, you breathe out. You also have to breathe in. It's not one or the other. It's both. You breathe out carbon dioxide. You breathe in oxygen. You breathe out, which is giving. You breathe in, which is receiving. Giving and receiving are not opposite concepts, though that's not what the world around us tells us, is it? There are so many anti-prosperity messages out there. And for most people, it's a combination of upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television, movies, social media, more is a horrible anti-prosperity messages. And because they're so prevalent and just everywhere, it's very easy for someone at a very young age to, on an unconscious level, have bad feelings about prosperity. And it can really mess a person up when it comes time for them to receive. And I think what we need to understand is that giving and receiving are not opposite concepts. They're simply two sides of the very same coin, and they work in tandem. Okay. So it's not, are you a giver or a receiver? No, you're a giver and a receiver.
It's a flow.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a flow. What you know, though, is that the giving comes first, right? These are laws of nature, human nature and economic nature, physical nature. Hey, we plant before we harvest.
Yep.
We sow before we reap. It's like the mentor Pindar, the main mentor, said to the protege Joe early in the story, Joe, some people go up to a fireplace with the attitude of, first you give me some heat and some fire, then I'll throw on some logs and some newspaper and light a match. No, life doesn't work that way. You don't go up to the bank manager and say, hey, I really want to open up an account here, but first I need you to give me an interest payment. It doesn't work. That's not life. And successful people deal in truths. Yes, we give value. Okay. Then we allow ourselves to receive it with gratitude.
Absolutely. Man, and that's perfect. That perfectly punctuates exactly where we're supposed to be. And ladies and gentlemen that are listening to this, pay attention to Bob's tonalities as he told this story and watch how he used his words and how he used his inflection and his voice and his volume levels to be able to really accentuate different points, because that's something that's very important in the art of sales. Bob, where can people find out more about you and where can people get the book?
The best place is burg.com. Pretty much everything is there, including you can get a free chapter of any of the books in the series and any of my other books. I also, when you're at the site, I have a daily email I send out. It's called Daily Impact. And I just put a link in the chat for you if you want to put that in the show notes later.
Perfect.
And welcome everybody to subscribe if they'd like.
Amazing. Everybody, you already know what to do. Bob did what he said and he provided value first. And now it's time to reciprocate, right? So go subscribe to the newsletter. Go buy the book. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to us today. This has been Brian and Bob with the Action Academy Podcast, signing off. Hey, real quick, if you're still listening to today's episode, I'm assuming you got value from it. So I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with this show is to help over 1 million people do what they want, when they want, with who they want, and I can only do that with your help. There are two main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you could please leave me a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to one or two friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the people that we're looking to reach. Thanks in advance. Talk tomorrow.